Acts chapter 1. We're going to talk about mission drift today. The phrase mission drift is an idea that's introduced in a lot of churches and businesses and organizations, which basically is the idea that we have a tendency to drift away from the original mission or purpose of the organization, the church, the business. You see this happen a lot in culture. It's very natural. It often happens very subtly. But this idea of mission drift is this tendency to drift away from your original mission, your original purpose. You see this all the time. You see companies trying to redefine themselves. I don't know why this always comes to my mind, but I always think about Domino's Pizza. When it used to be Domino's served pizza, right? And we're going to get it there, 30 minutes or less was kind of their big deal for years and years and years. The next thing I know, Domino's is selling not just pizza, but wings and salads and subs and car parts and like all kinds of stuff now that you can get at Domino's Pizza. So I don't know if it's a mission drift or what, but they should rebrand themselves to not include the word pizza. And they might have done that. They might just call themselves Domino's now. So that's kind of a mission drift idea. If we were to take it back to our Exodus series, we left off with Exodus with the Israelites. You know, God is going to be with them and his presence is going to be near. And then kind of after Exodus, they spend the next 40 years wandering around, drifting around in the desert before they actually make it into the promised land. So there's a mission drift. And it's easy to happen in any organization. It's easy to happen in a church. There are a lot of things in church that can vie for your attention and get you distracted from the mission, the purpose of the church. And so we think at City Church, it's important to come back again and again to our mission, to our purpose. And our mission is very, very simple. And it comes from Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, this is written by the gospel writer Luke. So the gospel of Luke and then Acts is kind of volume 2 of the gospel of Luke. And so Luke says in Acts 1:1, in the first book, which is the gospel of Luke, okay? And so when he says the first book, he's talking back to the gospel. In the first book, O Theophilus, and that's the person to whom Luke is writing, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And when I was studying through Luke and Acts one time, it kind of just dawned on me that the idea here of the book of Acts and then everything post-Acts, which is us, after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, we're a part of that. That the church, really, the whole mission of the church is to continue what Jesus started, to continue what Jesus began. That he began it and we continue it. And so our mission statement is just that simple. That City Church exists to continue what Jesus began. That we believe that what Jesus began is an unfinished task. Until we reach eternity in heaven with him, that there's an unfinished, incomplete mission on earth that we are a part of as his people. And so that's the mission of City Church. We exist to continue what Jesus began to do and to teach. The implications of that are that we continue what Jesus started. And that's what the book of Acts is. It's the continuation of what Jesus started, reflecting back on what Jesus did and what Jesus taught in the Gospels. Matter of fact, we did a series when we kind of started the whole thing, City Church, that was called Continue. And a lot of people that were here back in that day thought like the word continue is because it was never going to end. It just continued on and on and on. And we basically went through the book of Luke together, kind of walking through what Jesus began to do and teach to help us understand what we are to do and to teach. And it really just kind of comes down to two things. That we're to proclaim the gospel. That's what Jesus taught. That has to do with beliefs, that we are to proclaim the gospel and we're to demonstrate the gospel. That's what Jesus did. And so the idea of what he taught and what he did. And so we preach the gospel, we proclaim the gospel, and then we live out the gospel. So that's what helps us stay on mission. Is this what we're exploring, what we're thinking about doing, the next steps of City Church? Does it help us further the mission? Does it help us continue what Jesus started? That's like the framework from which we operated. Does this help us continue what Jesus did, what he taught? Does it help us stay focused on mission. And from that, when City Church started, we have basically four core values that help define what that looks like for us. Two that have to do with beliefs, two that have to do with practice. The ones that have to do with belief, and this is our number one core value. And by the way, all this is on your app if you want to dig into this. We'll have some handouts for you at the end that reflect these things. I don't know if these are in the handouts, actually, but we can get that for you. And so the core value number one, and this drives everything about City Church outside of the mission, the first core value, is this. The church belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. Everything builds from that. This is His church. It's His church. So often I'll say to City Church people, the church belongs to who? And you'll respond, Jesus. That's a good answer. You can all say Jesus when I say, the church belongs to who? Okay, the church belongs to who? Okay, that's like the old Sunday school joke you used to tell about all the answers were Jesus, and the Sunday school's teachers talking to the kids and like, hey, what is it that's small and brown and furry and has a long tail and likes to collect acorns and take them into the tree? What is that, kids? And one kid's like, it sounds a lot like a squirrel, but I'm going to go with Jesus because we're in Sunday school. So like, Jesus is the answer, right? The church belongs to Jesus. And I want to tell you what. That core value at City Church has been more obvious in the last 3 months than maybe at any time in our history. And it might continue to be that way for the next several months, okay? So hold on. This is His church. And I can tell you, if it wasn't His, it'd been a lot easier for Devin and Ashley to be like, we're out. This is too much for us. But because it's His church, right? He sustains it. He keeps it going. The church belongs to Him. Jesus announced to His disciples in Matthew 16 that this is my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why will the gates of hell not prevail against it? Not because of how awesome we are, or we have the right programming, or we're somehow sustainable. The church will, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church because the church belongs to Jesus. He's already overcome death, hell, and the grave. So hell can line itself up, and it cannot overcome the church because the church is His church. And man, that has so many implications that we do not have time to dive into. I would just say that Jesus is the head of City Church. You often hear me say, if you're around City Church for any length of time, that Jesus is the senior pastor of this church. Now, that we have elders, that my title outside of the elders, the lead pastor, I kind of help give direction and leadership to this thing. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the senior pastor of City Church. We look to Him. We want to follow His guidance. He is our chief shepherd. He is the one that we seek to follow. You'll hear me say a lot. People come to me and say things like, are you the guy with the answers? And I'll say, no, I'm not. But I do know the one who has the answers. He is the answer giver. He is the head of this church, and His name is Jesus. And so the church belongs to Jesus. At City Church, we focus. This is important. We focus less on what you should and should not do and be, and we focus more on who Jesus is. And what Jesus has done, and who we are in Jesus. That is vital. You can attend a lot of churches that will focus on what you should and should not do or be. And we don't ignore those things. We just talk about them from the framework of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Because He is the one that enables us to do that. We believe as you find your identity in Jesus, that living as a Jesus follower becomes more natural. And so I'm going to preach about Jesus. We're going to sing about Jesus. We're going to teach our kids about Jesus. We believe Jesus is a big deal. And we're going to focus on that. The gospel of Jesus is the greatest message known to humanity. And for that reason, everything we do and teach at City Church is grounded in the good news of Jesus. Now, you know, if you hear me preach, there's going to be call to action. There's going to be do this, don't do this, that type of preaching. But every single time that I do that, it's going to be grounded in. You can do these things. You should live this way. You should not do these things and do these things because of what has been done for you. That is the platform that you're going to live the Christian life is because of what Jesus has done. There's the difference in do and done. That what Jesus has done is what fuels our Christian living. So I'm going to push you back to the gospel every single time. I can maybe motivate you to try a little harder. I can motivate you to make some life changes. I can motivate you to look in the mirror and say, I'm a good person, and I can hang in there, but that's not what's going to create change in your life. What's going to create change in your life is for me to encourage you every single day when you get up, you preach the gospel to yourself that what Jesus has done for me is enough. It is enough for me today. It is enough for me to live in His victory. The church belongs to Him. I belong to Him. It's about Jesus, and it's always going to be about Jesus, okay? So are we on the same page about core value number one? Do I seem really loud in here and echoey? Good. Core value number two, grace is a way of life. We believe this. Grace is a way of life. That when you understand the gospel, when you understand how depraved we are outside of Jesus, when we understand the depth of His love that we just sang about, when we understand the depth of His grace, that it becomes a way of life for us, that the gospel is a message of undeserved and radical grace. That means there is nothing that we can do to earn or deserve God's grace or maintain God's grace. Grace is given by God through Jesus to the undeserving, broken, sinful people. Look around. Our world is broken. We are broken. And the gospel says Jesus redeems and restores the broken. For that reason, City Church maintains this kind of come-as-you-are approach to ministry. We're okay with the idea that you are not okay. We're not okay with the idea that you're not okay, but just stay not okay. We want you to reach a place with the gospel that God's doing stuff in your life, right? That you're not just content to stay here, but God's actually doing stuff to make changes in your life. Now, that takes time and space and energy, and we have the patience for that, and we believe the gospel can change that. And so we say, like, when you come into City Church, wherever you're at in life, that's okay. And if you need to stay in that place for a long time, that's okay, because we believe the gospel will change you. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to just stay not okay, because the gospel will transform you under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And so grace is a way of life. We realize that discovering and following Jesus is a journey. And so we welcome people at every step on that journey. People that are kicking the tires, people that have been Christians for a long time. Wherever you're at on that journey, we welcome you. Authenticity is allowed, it's encouraged, it's promoted. We know life is messy. Life is messy, and grace is scandalous. And so grace is a way of life for the followers of Jesus. Those who have received grace, when they recognize the depth of grace that we have received, it should be natural for us to live out the grace that we have received. As we dive deeper into the gospel, the more I understand how much I need Him, the more I understand His grace for me, it should become more and more natural for me to seek to live grace as a way of life. And so grace compels us in this calling to love God and love others. I want our first foot forward to always be grace. Does that mean you get trampled on sometimes? Absolutely. Does that mean you get taken advantage of sometimes? Yeah. Does that mean sometimes you get it wrong? Yeah. But I want our first foot forward to always be grace. We saw it last week in Exodus, didn't we? When God was describing who He was, when God said, "This is my name," to His people, what was His name about? It was about He is long-suffering and patient and merciful and forgiving. That's God's first foot forward. That's how He introduces Himself on His resume in Exodus chapter 34. And we want our first foot forward to be a foot of grace and compassion and mercy, right? We want to extend grace, not because any other reason other than it's what we've been given. It's what we've received, understanding the depth of that. So that's kind of what drives our beliefs. Is the church belongs to Jesus? Grace is a way of life. Obviously, there's a lot more when you unpack what a church believes. Now, but those are our core values that help drive beliefs. Now, let's talk a little bit about practice. There's two core values that have to do with the idea of what Jesus did. One of those is we live intentionally in community. Jesus was all about community. He lived in community. The Christian life is best lived in a community with other followers of Jesus. Jesus instructs us to do life together. Here's why. Every single story matters in God's redemptive story. And I believe that spiritual growth happens most effectively when our stories collide. When your story collides with my story and our stories collide with the redemptive story of Jesus, it produces spiritual growth. That's why I always say, like, I need people ahead of me on the journey that are pulling me along, that their story is they're pulling Devin along. I need people behind me on the journey that I'm pulling along, that we are in this together. We are being pulled toward Jesus. We are pulling others toward Jesus, and our stories collide, and we are living life in community with each other because our stories ultimately collide with God's story, and it's in that interaction where community happens most effectively and spiritual growth happens. So the gospel is a community. It creates a community of all types of people from all walks of life who share this common belief: Jesus is who he claimed to be. And he offers grace and forgiveness to broken people. So we don't pretend to have it all figured out. We believe diversity is beautiful in the Christian community, but we have to be intentional to create community. If you know anything about Ash and I's story, you know we don't pretend in any way to have it all figured out. And we don't mind being completely authentic, broken people before you guys, because that's part of our story. That's what's attracted a lot of you to City Church, because you found yourself in places and stories where your brokenness was in need of redemption, and you found an identity with other people here at City Church. And so we have to live intentionally in community. And that community helps us each other to grow and to become more like Christ. So choose to do life together. And then our last core value is that we are in our city. We are for our city. Our name reflects that belief, right, about our city. That we are a group of Jesus followers who live in our cities for our cities. We value the cities in which we live, whether that's Decatur or Hartsel or Priceville or Somerville or Moulton. I'm not sure we value Moulton. I'm just kidding. We do value Moulton. I live out there. I'm talking to myself. So don't judge. I'm Lawrence County across the line, right? I always get the question because our address is Trinity. And the question is always, do you live in like the Morgan side of Trinity or the Lawrence County side of Trinity? Don't force me to answer that. Let me answer it for you. I have this extra arm growing out of my back because I drink water from Lawrence County. I'm just kidding. We value our cities. We are in our cities and for our cities. So the way that we kind of play that out at City Church is we partner with organizations in our city that help promote the well-being of our city, the restoration of our city. We are against things in our cities that create division and brokenness. When there are cultural issues that come to the format in our cities, we want to be on the side of wholeness. We want to be on the side of health in our community and in our city. This comes from the biblical principle of shalom, which is the Old Testament word that we often translate peace, but it means a lot more than peace. It means wholeness. And when the Israelites were taken captive and living as exiles, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking on behalf of God, said that your obligation as you are living as exiles in this city is to help restore the shalom of the city, to be help the city be prosperous. And so we believe that we have been called in our cities to be for our cities. We don't want to be the church that's known as they're against everything that's happening in the community. We want to be people that are promoting the good in our city. Practically, what that means for us is there are awesome organizations in our city that are able to do things to help restore our city that we do not have the manpower or the capacity to pull off. So what we can do is we can come alongside them and say, we love you guys, we believe in you guys, we can help you be a better organization by providing you resources and volunteers and to help do things in our community that we simply can't do. And so we love to partner with strategic partners in our city to make those things happen, whether it's NCC or Boys and Girls Club or whatever it is, organizations that are doing things to help make our community a better place. We're in our city and for our city. Here's where I want it to go kind of next level. We want to have that mindset without an agenda. You ever been to churches that do things in the city so that they can put an invite card in your hand and hope you show up? It's not a bad thing if they show up, but can we serve with even that without that agenda? Can we serve just because we want to, right, make our city a better place? If they show up at City Church, awesome. If they don't show up at City Church, we still want to be Jesus. We still want to make our community a better place. And because we believe it's his church, he's going to grow it. He's going to make it happen. We just have to be faithful. And so we want to be in our city and for our city, demonstrating the gospel in our city by living out the grace that we have received. Jesus wants to bring healing and redemption and wholeness, and we want to be a part of making that happen in our city. So these four core values help us stay on mission, to avoid mission drift. It's what City Church is about, continuing what Jesus began. Now, let me just mention these few things that are kind of distinct, that are outside of our core values, because some of you here, you're newer to City Church. I mentioned last week, we haven't really done a covenant partner thing in a while. So what is it that kind of makes us distinct outside of these things? Let me just mention a few things, we'll be done. We are unashamedly a Christian church. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are about Jesus. We are gospel-centered, Jesus-focused, grace-driven church. Okay? Gospel-centered, Jesus-focused, grace-driven church. This is important. We practice what we call a closed-handed, open-handed approach to the essentials of the Christian faith. In other words, there are things that we believe about the Christian faith that are closed-handed issues. They're not room for negotiation. We believe Jesus is who he claims to be. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. These are things that define what it means to be a Christian. So those are closed-handed issues for us. You know, we're not going to have a debate on whether Jesus was who he claims to be. I don't mind having that conversation with you if that's a question you're exploring. But as a church, we believe those things. They're closed-handed issues. Outside of those closed-handed issues, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of open-handed issues, of things that churches believe for all different reasons. What they practice about baptism, how they do the Lord's Supper, where they gather, how they reach their communities. These are all open-handed issues. And so we're going to allow closed-handed issues to remain closed-handed issues and hold those things tightly, but we're going to allow open-handed issues to be open-handed issues. We're not going to allow these things to become divisive or to become closed-handed issues in our church. The way that I love to explain that is kind of the idea of concentric circles. Circles that get bigger or smaller, whichever way you're going. That inside the center circle is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There's no room for negotiation for that on who Jesus is. There's a second circle that kind of defines what you believe and who you are, whether you're part of a denomination or like what City Church believes. There are second circle issues that help define us, like how we baptize, how we have church leadership, all those type of things. Those are second circle issues that we say, hey, if you want to partner with City Church and be a covenant partner with us, these are the second circle issues that we believe and that you, are coming on board with on how we do things. And then there's a third circle that is humongous. It has to do with a lot of different things that we just don't debate and discuss as City Church unless we're just kind of, talking back and forth about things. But spiritual gifts. What color's the carpet going to be? What's the building going to look like? These are all third circle issues. Did you know that most church conflict happens in third circle issues that people try to make second circle issues? Or second circle issues, center core issues? And so you'll hear that language sometimes at City Church where we'll say that's a second circle issue for us or a third circle issue, and hey, we'll talk about it. We may just agree to disagree in grace over this issue. Even our elders have third circle issues that we disagree on some things and how we play those things out, what they look like. And so we want to be a church that remembers the closed-handed, open-handed approach to doing ministry, the concentric circles approach to ministry. And to constantly remind ourselves of that. Paul talks about that a lot in the New Testament, doesn't he? Like, here's the things that you hold on to, and here's some differences on these things. And do so, disagree in the grace and love of God. So, one of those second circle issues that we practice at City Church is we practice baptism by immersion, okay? So, the word baptized in the New Testament means to dunk. And when I was kind of transitioning on what it means to be, I come out of, Baptist roots, and then what does it mean to be a non-Baptist church, we're a non-denominational church, and I did a big study on baptism. I just want to see, what does the New Testament teach about baptism? And what I walked away from that, just opening up the text and learning about baptism, is the word, original word for baptism in the New Testament means to dunk, to plunge. As a matter of fact, we created the word baptize for our English translations. The original word in the Greek just means dip or plunge. And so if they had just translated it dip or plunge instead of baptizo, baptize, then we may probably have less discussions about this issue. But we practice that when a person becomes a believer in Jesus, then they are baptized to show that as a sign that they have become a believer. We call it believer's baptism. Two things you do not find in the New Testament. Believers who are not baptized and people baptized who are not believers. And so that's why we don't technically practice like infant baptism and things like that, because we believe the New Testament teaches believers baptism. Again, second circle issue for us. So like if you're come from a Presbyterian or Methodist type background, you're like, hey, I got, you know, sprinkled as a child, confirmed, growing up, all that thing. That's just a conversation that we have. It's not like, oh no, you can never be a part of City Church. Go get yourself dunked again. You're not authentically baptized. Again, second circle issue for us, a little bit of flexibility. We believe here's what the New Testament teaches. So second circle issue for us. So baptism by immersion. We're an elder-led church. We have a shared leadership approach to our church. Again, second circle issue for us. Some of you come from different backgrounds of whether it's a presbytery or a congregational type church. Just City Church is an elder-led church. We believe, again, that's what the New Testament seems to teach most clearly, is a plurality of leaders, plurality of elders in local churches. We do not identify with a particular denomination, but we do partner with like-minded churches, okay? So we're not like, stay away from us, or just like, okay, are you gospel people? We're gospel people. We practice consistent biblical and applicable preaching. And I'll emphasize biblical. We preach from the Bible at City Church. Okay? So if you're looking for a church that just opens up the Bible and goes, that's how we approach preaching, is Bible preaching. I believe the preaching of God's word is what brings genuine life transformation to you. And that is long haul preaching. That's marathon preaching. Like, I could get up here every week and give you, like, here's 5 steps to feel better and 6 ways to make yourself happier. And, hey, here's 3 good steps for you to have a better marriage. But that's not marathon preaching. Marathon preaching is, I'm going to open up and preach the gospel, preach the Bible to you week after week after week. We'll apply that to marriage. We'll apply that to how to have a joyful life, all those things. But at the end of the day, it's not some cute phrase or cliche that Devin comes up with in 5 steps to be happier that will change your life. What will change your life is the truth of God's word being preached and the Holy Spirit doing his deal in your heart, bringing life transformation. So we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to try to do it in an applicable way, but we're going to open up the Word of God and preach it every week. And that's why a lot of you are here, because we open up the Bible and preach it. We seek to create environments of sincere worship and include singing and instruments and serving and giving and participating in the sacraments and other forms of worship. And we do those things for his glory and not for ours. And then let me just mention these couple of other ones. We do have what we call here an ancient future emphasis. Now, what that means is a lot of kind of modern churches seem to neglect a lot of what's come before them. We recognize we are stepping into 2,000 years of historical belief and orthodoxy, that we're stepping into a stream. I think the modern church has lost a little bit about that, and we've kind of suffered for it. We have to recognize we're stepping into 2,000 years of teaching that has gone before us. Our mission while we're here is to take what has been given to us, to preserve the integrity of that truth, and to pass it to a coming generation. And honestly, if you drop the ball on any 3 of those, you've kind of missed one of your primary purposes for being a church, right? There's a lot of talk about creativity in the church, and if we could just be cool enough, then the whole congregation, the community would flood to us if we just have cool lights. No, we're stepping into 2,000 years and taking a historical message. We're trying to make it connect, right, to the audience that we're engaged with, but having cool lights is not what's going to change hearts. You know, I'm not against churches that have cool lights and bands. Obviously, we have a band. But what I'm saying is those are not the things that ultimately change the hearts of people. And so we take 2,000 years of history. We preach the gospel in a way that connects to a modern audience. We worship in a way. Man, I am so thankful for the modern, you know, music movement that's happened. It's opened up a whole different level of expressive worship toward God. I love that. Okay, I'm all in that. And that we are to take it and to pass it on to the next generation. So ancient but future emphasis, dropping into a stream of historical orthodoxy, protecting the truth that's been provided, preserving it, passing it, ancient, future. And then I already mentioned we have this kind of come as you are approach to ministry. That's where God will meet you, right where you are. Do versus done, what he has done, that's where he will meet you. We are a community committed to authenticity. We are a broken yet redeemed group of Jesus followers. And then this is the only last one that I'll mention and we're done. We practice what we believe here at City Church is called grace-based generosity, okay? So a lot of churches talk about giving or investing in their church in a lot of different ways. Because we are a church that believes that grace is a way of life, I believe that when you get the gospel, that as you begin to understand grace, that one of your responses to that is you do want to prioritize God in your giving of your time, your talents, your treasures, that as you understand grace, that you will be a generous person more naturally because you recognize the generosity that God has given to you, right? I could stand up here and just beat you guys over the head about tithing or giving or whatever, and I believe you need to be doing all those things. But what I would rather you do is understand the gospel, because if you get the gospel, if you understand grace, you'll understand generosity as a part of grace, right? And so, yeah, we'll talk about giving. We'll talk about, yeah, prioritize God in your giving. Ashley and I practice priority giving. God gets first. We practice percentage giving because we believe that we want to prioritize God by giving Him a certain percentage. We want to grow that percentage consistently. And then we also want to practice, I'm missing my third P that we practice, babe. We practice prioritized percentage, something else with a P, giving in our lives. Obviously, the third value is not that important to us. Prioritized percentage, I don't know what the third one is. I am old, people. I'm sore from jumping on a trampoline. Give me a break. I'll get back to you. Prayer, which sounds like a good one, but that's not it. It's very spiritual of you, though. Jesus, that's it. Grace-based generosity. Be a giving person because God has given so much to you. Right? Grace-based generosity. Acts chapter 1 would continue what Jesus started. Here's what Jesus says in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then this is kind of the rest of that, what he started. And you will be my. Whose church? Whose does the church belong to?
Jesus.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. He's talking to a handful of ragtag, former fisherman, tax collector, zealot. He's talking to this ragtag group of followers, and he's saying, you're going to be my witnesses, and it's going to go throughout the world. What? Have you seen this group? Like, this group of followers, Jesus is saying these things too. They're just like, bailed on him in his most crucial time. Jesus said there's a key here, right? I'm not dead, I'm alive, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit is going to empower this, and you're just going to be witnesses of me, Jesus says. You're just going to be my witnesses. Wherever you go, in your hometown, which is how this is divided up, it's kind of local and then regional and then worldwide, if you break down what is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You're going to be witnesses to me in your circle, your family, your friends, your home, your workplace. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to point people to Jesus. And then you're going to be witnesses bigger than that. In your counties, in your states, in your country, you're going to be my witnesses. And the church is going to continue to be my witnesses until the gospel is taken throughout the entire world, all with a single mission. Continue what Jesus began, being his witnesses. That's what we are, City Church. We are people that point people to Jesus. We are beggars who are full, who have found the bread, that point people to the bread, right? To the bread of life. I'm just another beggar telling other beggars where to find the bread, right? That's what we are. We are his witnesses. I love John the Baptizer. I'm not the guy, but I know the guy. I am not him, but I know him. I'm a light of him. That's what we are. We are his witnesses. So, if you're looking like, should I plug into City Church? Should I be a part of City Church? This little rant and rave for these 30 minutes, this is about what we are. This is the core of who we are. If you need to break it down lower than this, email me, call me, ask me. I'll break down whatever you want to know about my beliefs about anything or everything. But at the end of the day, this is what we're about. This is what we are about. Amen? And so we're going to keep on mission. Is there going to be mission drift? Absolutely. I've felt it in the last 3 months like you wouldn't believe. But our goal is to stay focused on the essential. Continue what Jesus began.